There is more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. This is episode 52 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today, it's October 23rd, 2016. As we enter our second season of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable, I thought we should start at the beginning. It's been about 3 years since Joshua invaded my life. In that time, together we have written three books, A Perception of Reality, Health, Wealth, and Love, and A Radical Change in Your Approach to Life. And a fourth book has been written, and it's in the final stages of editing. It's called The Joshua Diet, and I think it might be the most popular book of them all. It'll be released right before Christmas. We've also written many articles and have answered hundreds and hundreds of questions. Most of them are available on the website, so you can read them anytime you want. Along the way, we've gathered quite a community of people interested in this stuff, and I made some great friends along the way. We now have two podcasts going, this one and Joshua Live. So after all this, I received the inspiration this week to ask the question, what are the teachings of Joshua? What is Joshua trying to convey? How do these teachings differ from Abraham, Seth, and the others, and how are they similar? Is Joshua simply teaching the law of attraction, or is there more to the story? Today, we'll spend the entire podcast talking about the basics of Joshua's teachings and why they are so popular with so many people. On the roundtable today, we have Steve Finizza. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Gary.
And Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy Pierce. Hi, Wendy.
Good morning, Gary.
And Deborah Jo Bright. Hi, Deborah Jo.
Hello, everyone.
It's great to have you guys all together.
Yeah.
Great to be here.
This is going to be a fun show. It's funny, we talk about, you know, teachings of Joshua every week on this podcast, but really we've never talked about what they are and, you know, and really gotten boiled down to it. And I was just thinking in my head this week, there's been four full books now, and each book is like 125,000 words. So that's 500,000 words right there. And then there's probably, I was sort of counting, like I do about 20 questions a week, and it's been 3 years. So that's like 150 weeks times 20 is about 3,000 questions. And each question is about 1,000 words and all these articles. So you can see that there's this enormous bulk of, you know, writings that are out there. And then now all these podcasts, we're on 52, so a year of podcasts. And then just doing the Joshua Live. And so all this stuff, this really great base of material is there waiting. But what does it all add up to? And so that's what we're going to figure out today. Mm. Have you guys been thinking about what it all is and how it's changed your life and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So this show is also intended to be an introduction to the teachings of Joshua. So if you're listening to this for the first time, we're going to send it to all the new people who come in to sign up for the newsletter. It's going to be free to everybody. It'll be out there. And so we intend for this to be like, you know, start from the beginning, learn how everything works out, and then you can get deeper involved as you go along. So what we're going to do today is I'm going to start by talking about how this whole thing happened, the story of how Joshua came into my life, and then we'll go into more detail about what everything is. So I think it's funny to start off right at the beginning. So you know who I am. I was born in Johannesburg, South Africa. My whole family has been there for their, you know, generations and generations. And when I was two, my parents moved from Johannesburg to Vancouver, Canada. It was always my dad's dream to move to America. So he gets married, he has me, he has my brother, and 8 weeks after my brother is born, they get on a ship, and the ship goes to England, and then I, somewhere on the ship, contracted German measles, so I was in the hospital in London for 2 weeks, almost died, but didn't, obviously. And then we go on another ship with, which takes another 2 weeks or so, or a week, to get to Nova Scotia, and then on another week-long train trip to Vancouver, which I can't even imagine how you would do that. He thinks that he has a job waiting for him at Burroughs, which is a computer company. He gets there. There's no job. They never heard of him, back in 1965 or something. So he scrambles around and gets a job. And actually, he becomes a travel agent for a while, and he's a cop for a while. And then finally he gets a job at Burroughs. And then we're in Canada 4 years. We get Canadian citizenship, and that allows us to move to America. So in 1969, we moved to San Diego, and he's working at Burroughs. Everything's doing very well there. Everything's going great. And then my mother wants to move back to South Africa. So then we move back to South Africa in 72. We're there for a year, and they're going, nope, this is no good. Let's now go back to America. So he gets transferred with Burroughs again to the headquarters in Detroit. We're living there for a year. Then he quits his job. And then we moved back to San Diego. And then my parents get divorced. I'm 13. And it was, for me, a great thing because my mother was super controlling. And it worked out really well with just me, my dad, and my brother. My mother moved to New York. So now I'm this 13-year-old kid, and I'm pretty much free. I can do anything I want. No one's watching over me at all. And I have a lot of friends there. So we're having a good time in San Diego. And then my dad decides to move to Boca Raton, Florida. And so in ninth grade, we moved there, and that works out well too. And so I go to high school, go to college, meet Deborah Jo when I'm in college. We sort of work on a business together that was super fun and crazy and wild and big, but ultimately collapsed. And then my only real goal from that point on was to be rich. In fact, my only goal from ninth grade was to be rich. So this had started. And so me and my best friend Bruce, who knows Deborah Jo, we're all this connected. It's so obvious how we're connected too. So Bruce and I start businesses and, launch them and fail, launch them and fail. And then one takes off, do well for a little bit, and then that collapses. And then I start all over at the beginning, start a real estate appraisal company, and that just goes very well. Then I start a title company, a mortgage company, buy houses, and now I'm finally made it, and I have money, and everything's going great, and then the economy collapses, and we lose everything. So then we start over at the beginning. Lily and I, I got married to Lily along the way, and we're together living in this little house in sort of the wilderness, if you could have a wilderness in Florida, and I think it's Deborah Jo brings us the secret CD. So we're sort of scraping around, figuring out what we're going to do. We've lost pretty much everything. We're starting over, and we get to Secret, and we don't have a CD player in our house. So we put it in the car, and we just go on this road trip. And we're totally into the Secret. We're going, yeah, this is great. This is what we're going to do. And this is what we're going to do to make money, really. It was all about making money. And so we actually go on these road trips all the time and listen to the CD over and over. And we must have listened to it 5 or 6 times. So then Lily's looking around our house for what other kind of motivational things we can find. And she finds in our bookshelf, Ask and It Is Given by Abraham. So we had listened to this before, but it never resonated with us at all. We thought it was good, but we didn't really even get it. And so we listened to it again. And now somehow it all makes sense. So we're really inspired by it, and we go ahead and look up Abraham's website and see that they're having a seminar in Asheville, and my brother lives in Asheville, so we're like, this is perfect. We'll go see my brother, and then we'll go to the seminar, and it's a 2-day thing up there. And while we're up there, it's like this most super high-energy thing, because it's all these like-minded people talking about the law of attraction, and they're all, good-looking, dressed well, successful people. I mean, you could really feel the vibe of this group. And all the stuff that, Esther's channeling Abraham, and it's just really powerful, unbelievable, high-energy stuff. And I'm you know, like, this is it. This is the coolest thing I ever saw. So while I'm there, I get a call from Karen, who used to work for me when doing real estate. And she says, I have this deal that we just need to put in someone's name and we're going to sell the contract. So we're going to write the contract in your name and then we're just going to flip it to someone else for $5,000. We'll each make a couple thousand dollars. I said, great, go ahead and do that. The funny thing is that, you know, in my career in real estate, I was really wanting to learn how to be a real estate investor so I can buy houses and fix them up. And I had done that from time to time, maybe one or two a year throughout, you know, just like a hobby. But I've never really, you know, got into it because I was so focused on building businesses that I never really, you know, did more of the flip houses, which I really, really liked. But anyway, so now I have nothing to do. And she just calls out of the blue. I happen to be on a break, answer the phone, and she's got this deal. So we get back from North Carolina, and Karen says that the guy doesn't want to buy the house. Do you want to buy it? And so I'm like, well, you know, I'll go take a look at it. And it was a really cute little house. It was super cheap back then. This is like 2009 or 10. Mm-hmm. When do you think, Deborah Jo?
10.
Okay. So the market was really low there, and so houses were cheap. But I didn't have any money, so our Bruce's wife, Mary Ellen, goes into partners with me, and we fix up this house. She puts up the money, and I do all the, you know, designing and get the workers and stuff, and it goes great. I'm like totally in love with this. And so somehow just this going to see Abraham, I found my passion again, which was doing houses. So now I'm in this thing of doing houses and I get some more investors and we're buying houses and it's going really great. Well, we're the whole time we're just listening to Abraham. We're going to more Abraham seminars. Abraham's down here in Boca. We're going to Abraham all over the place. And Deborah Jo and Frank and Lily and I go to an Abraham land cruise. A lot of the way Lily gets her passion, which is redesigning furniture, taking old furniture and stripping it down and lacquering it and, you know, using bright, beautiful fabrics, and opens a store, and the store gets really big called the Painted Ox. So we both got our passions. We're both doing our things. I start to play poker. I'm really into poker. Everything's going great. And then we go to this land cruise, which was one of the most fun 5 days of my life, I think. And come back from that, and I think it's 2013 now. 2013, like.
Yes.
Okay, so 2013. So I've been having this nagging feeling that I need to meditate. But I've always resisted meditation because I just thought it was a weird thing to do. Did a little bit with my mom when she was living in New York, and she would go to these, you know, gurus, and they would have this guided meditation, and I just thought it was sort of weird. But then I heard that Jerry Seinfeld was meditating and a whole bunch of other people were meditating, and so I said, well, I'm going to try it. And then Abraham has a meditation CD. So we got the meditation CD, and Lily and I sat down and meditated. And at first, it was really hard to do. You could do like 5 minutes or so without, you know, saying that's enough. But eventually, I got through the whole thing where I could do the whole full 15 minutes or so. And then I was meditating every day. And then one day, I felt this presence in my head. That's all I can say is describe it. And it felt as if there was a hand on the side of my face, but inside my skin, on my skull, and it was gently moving around my head. It was like so obvious that there was something in there. And so I'm just relaxing in it, just paying attention to it. It's, I didn't know if it happened to other people or not, but it was just a really interesting sensation, but super obvious. The next day it came again, the next day it came again, the next day it came again. So my thought was it was a presence, so I started talking to it, and I would get these answers back right away. I would ask questions, get these answers back, and I started treating it as if it was Abraham. And I would get these answers back, and then even when I wasn't meditating, I could, you know, say, I lost the clicker. Where's the clicker? And then the answer would come where the clicker is, things like that. So then one day I asked this entity what its name was, and immediately came back Joshua. So we started having the conversation. I'm not telling anyone about it, obviously, because this is a crazy thing that's happening. I'm sure I'm making it all up, but the answers that are coming back are really very enlightening answers. So we're going along, and now it's November 15th, 2013, meditating in the morning, and then we're having this, you know, same old conversation with Joshua every morning, and Joshua says, get up and write, write, write. So I just got up, went to my computer, and just started typing. And the first, it was like two and a half pages came out, and didn't know what it was, but it was the introduction to A Perception of Reality. And it just so happened that Deborah Jo and Frank came over for dinner that night, and after dinner I sat them down. I said, you're not going to believe what happened, but listen to this. And I read the first two pages to them, or maybe
I read it.
Read it, right. And so what did you think when that happened?
When I started reading it, first of all, let me state that Gary was really not a writer before this all happened. So for him to tell me that he was writing a book, in the first place, he had done some marketing booklets, but nothing to the extent of what he was talking about, nor was he even inspired really as a writer when he was doing his real estate. You know, it would be like pulling teeth just to get him to write the description of the houses that he was selling. I would always try to embellish them and make them much more. So for him to tell me that he was writing this book was surprising, but we had done so many things with Abraham that I was open to hearing it. And when I started reading it, and the first sentence that literally my body began to vibrate with the resonance of it was, everything is right. And then the first few pages, just every single sentence seemed to be so perfect in the core belief of what I knew to be true. And right. So as we were reading it, all four of us and Gary too would say, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is so right. This feels so right. Mm-hmm. So it was just a wonderful validation, I think, of how in what the right direction Gary was going.
You know, it wasn't like I knew it was even going to be a book. It was just what's interesting was, so I just sat down and wrote, and then so the next day just got up and wrote again from wherever I left off. And it was, you know, as if my hands were sort of possessed by the keyboard. You know, I would look down, not up at the screen, but at the keyboard, and just, it's like this, as fast as I can type with three fingers, right? And I would just sit down and be like half an hour, and then it was done. It was as much as I could do. I couldn't really go any longer because it takes a lot of concentration. But anyway, so that first sentence is, everything is right. There is no wrong anywhere in the universe. Anything perceived as wrong is an illusion. It only seems wrong through the narrow perception of your physical reality. From the broader viewpoint, whether it's the perception of non-physical or the broader view of history, nothing is ever wrong. It is always, always right.
It is always, always right.
So this, you know, here we are as humans thinking that, you know, things are either right or wrong, good or bad. What is called duality. It's either one or the other. And here Joshua is saying that there is nothing wrong. There is no wrong. And we'll go on to more about that. So anyway, get up the next day, start writing. Get up the next day, start writing. 8 weeks later is a fully completed 300-page book. And the funny thing is, once the day is done, or that morning, it only took an hour a day probably. The next day would just start off, you know, and just sort of amazing. And then you would come to a chapter heading, and the title would be there, and it would just keep going as if I was translating a book that had already been written. That's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. If you read this book, you can't tell where I stopped and started, you know, and I would stop at the end of a paragraph, and you can't tell which paragraph I stopped at because it just keeps flowing. So I didn't miss a day except for Thanksgiving, and Abraham, Esther came to town, and that was a Saturday. So I missed that day, which was in January. And the next day was the end of the eighth week, which was a Sunday, and the book was done on that day. So Lily had been reading the book along with, you know, I would print out the pages and give it to her, and she's reading along as we're going. It's really this fun thing we're reading together. And then that Sunday the book ends, and that's the end of the book, and it's sort of sad, right? The next day, got up again, started writing a new book, Health, Wealth, and Love. And then exactly the same thing, 8 weeks, and that one was done too. So two books done, but so, and we started sharing with just like Deborah Jo knew and a few other people knew. I started the website. Then my friend, I have been friends with Mike since the mid-90s. And Jennifer is his wife, who is single. We're all a group of single people. And she was one of the people in the group. She had been into Abraham back in the 90s, which I didn't know. Mike and Jennifer get married. They have kids. We're friends. And I mentioned this to her, and she's been into Abraham the whole time. Even been on a hot seat and asked a question. So it's like a super close friend is also into this. So she knows about it, and Deborah Jo knows, and then a few other people get to know, and then more and more people, and it sort of just builds this community, and then people start asking questions. And so then I would write the book and then answer questions and then post the questions on the website. And then it just grew from there. We have people now, it's 3 years later, that are in South Africa and Australia and, you know,
all over the world.
All over the world. Yeah. Just, you know, anywhere. And the French group is gigantic. In Quebec and in France, they're translating it to each other, too. People are translating the books and translating all these things like the cheat codes and all kinds of stuff. Hmm. So it's sort of growing organically. And then another book. Okay, then I go out to see Story Waters, who is another channel, and I meet Steve out there. When was that? Like 2 years ago, Steve?
Yeah, time seems kind of strange.
Yeah.
It feels like that.
Yeah, 2014 or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
That's about right.
So.
And this is funny, Steve, because Gary wanted Frank and I to go with them out there. And I said, I do not want to go see Story Waters. I have no interest in it. And Gary says, well, that's fear. I said, it has nothing to do with fear. I have no interest in it. And I'm so glad that I didn't, because we would have probably been, you know, huddled up together. Yep. And he never would have met you.
Yeah,
that's right.
So it just worked out perfectly.
You know,
you followed your inspiration and didn't go.
Yeah.
Let him make, you know, he's not the boss of me.
So that's funny, too, because I, you know, Story Waters had a hot seat and I was the last person to ask a question. And, I talked about Joshua in this. And so a lot of people were interested and a lot of people were talking to me afterwards. And I got, you know, 20 or 30 cards and from people. And then, but Steve, you're the only one I really connected with and talked to and followed up with at the end of it, which is interesting, of all those people there.
That is.
Yeah. So Steve and I start talking, and then Steve asked questions too, and people were asking questions. And then Steve's wife, Martina, asked a question, and that became the next book. She actually inspired this entire book, and that book is A Radical Change in Your Approach to Life. So that book was written, and then Steve...
Best book ever.
That's Deborah Jo's favorite book.
Yeah.
So then Steve has been asking questions, and Joshua says, we want to do a one-on-one with Steve. And so this is a long-term commitment where Steve has to ask 3 or 4 questions a week, can't make any major life changes, has to meditate every day, and... what else was it? Oh, just have to commit to 6 months, I think.
Yeah.
So he goes along and asks these questions, and it's very cool because, you know, it's just this, you can see this ongoing conversation and progression as specific to Steve. Joshua chips away at his, I guess,
way of being,
resistant way of being,
yeah.
And just teaches him a different perspective or shows him a different perspective. And then Steve picks up on this somehow quickly, as have everyone who's gone through it.
Steve, I was always curious about when Gary comes to you, and you only met him for a short period of time, so it wasn't a trust-building relationship over years of time. And he came to you and said, you can't change anything about yourself for 6 months, and you have to come up with all these questions. What was your first thought on that?
I thought I hit the jackpot.
Oh, okay. So no resistance whatsoever.
He was my own personal Abraham is the way I looked at it. I mean, it was great. I mean, I resonated right away with what Joshua was saying, and I knew it was good stuff.
Awesome.
And when when Joshua offered, Gary offered the one-on-one program, I jumped at it.
Okay. I always wondered about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's cool about it is that, you know, people ask a question and then they get this different, you know, their answer back, and the answer is supposed to change their perspective. But, you know, it's one question. People usually ask these really big questions, so they're very attached to the issue that's going on around them. And it's very, you know, it's maybe hard to see it right away. But when you do the one-on-one, you have to ask so many questions that you ask a lot of little questions too. You're not trying to save the big one. You know, like in Abraham, every time I'm in that setting, I'm always trying to think of this big question to ask. And those questions are always, you know, you're really attached to them and can't really see the answer. The little question, you know, when you're not attached to the answer, you can see what Abraham's saying. When the people are in the hot seat, you can see what their issue is, even though they can't see it, because
right.
You don't have this attachment to their problem.
Yes.
So in this one-on-one, you have to ask so many questions that you are forced to ask little questions, and then you get this minor adjustments, but it keeps on going and going and going. And then 100 questions later, you are a completely different person than you were when you started.
As I believe many people are after reading the books too. Several friends that I've given the book to literally say this changed my life.
Yeah. And that's awesome too, because you really sort of have, I don't even know. It's weird. Like, I have friends who can't even read the book.
They really good friends of yours too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can't understand it. They don't.
Who are naturally kind of Joshua as well.
They're naturally allowing kind of people. Yeah. But it's too foreign for them. Even Kimmy, who I gave the books to, and she read A Radical Change, breezed right through it, loved it, but then got to A Perception of Reality and couldn't get through it because it was, I don't know. It's like you have to be in that sort of vibration where you can get it. But even saying that, everyone can get something out of it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, now we are, Deborah Jo, I think you took it upon yourself to send a book to Jules Johnson.
That is correct.
So Jules,
you gave me 5 or 6 books and I sent them out to people that we thought would be resonant to them.
Like Oprah.
Oprah, Ellen DeGeneres, because we were still thinking about the money at that time.
Right.
We've let that go.
So anyway, Jules sent me an email and says, you got to be on my radio show. So I do an interview with her. And then at the end of it, she says, you have to have your own podcast. And so she is the impetus for this podcast. She started it all. And so then I said, well, can you be on it? And she said, no, I got too much things to do. And so I'm thinking around and I said, well, let's just do it with Steve and me and then my friend Janine, who just happens to be into the law of attraction too and lives and is like married to a really good poker buddy. So the three of us start doing it and having a lot of fun with it. And then Michael is a listener. And so he says, I want to be on the show too. So we have Michael with us and we're just having a good time. And then Jules has the law of attraction cruise. So that was this March, which seemed like so long ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Man.
Are you saying this year?
Yeah, it was 6 months ago.
Oh, my God.
So in March, we go on the cruise, and Jules is a hypnotist, and she goes, I'm going to bring out Joshua speaking, because up to this point, Joshua had always been just writing. And I had, at the beginning, thought Joshua would speak through me. I just thought that's how it was, that's how it happened. But after all those, you know, now 2.5 years of just writing and nothing was happening, I thought, well, maybe it's just going to be writing. The funny thing, too, is a lot of times when I'm meditating, I can feel Joshua moving my jaw around. It's really obvious, right? But I meditate, I have my mouth open, and just nothing's coming out. I just thought something would come out, sort of like Esther. I think it just came out of her.
Uh-huh. I think it's funny that you have this entity moving parts inside you, and you're not freaked out by this.
They're not really. I mean, I could stop them if I want to. It's like if I'm allowing them, then they can move it around. So Jules says, I'm going to bring Joshua out. I said, okay, great. Not thinking that she could or anything, and not really believing in hypnotism at all. So one day we're at sea. She takes me to her cabin and lies me down on the bed and then puts me under somehow, hypnotizes me, and I'm aware of what's going on, but also at a very super deeply relaxed state. Like, I can't really move or anything. I could if I wanted to. I know that. But I'm not moving. I'm just completely still. And then she asked Joshua to come out, and then Joshua comes out pretty easily. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty amazing. So she asked Joshua a lot of questions, and the answers were very cool. And then there had been other people on the cruise who had written questions for Joshua. So I went and got all those. She put me under again. And Jules read the questions, and Joshua answered each one while she recorded it, and then we were able to send the recordings to the people who asked them. So this was a very cool thing. So, but now I think that I need, you know, to be hypnotized every time. So we go back home, and Jules over Skype hypnotizes me again, brings Joshua out, and now we're doing it this way. And then she goes, "You don't need me anymore." And so we just started doing it, right? Just like a few weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago.
Yes.
And then started recording that, and now that's becoming the Joshua Live podcast, and it's just amazing.
So you bring forth Joshua on your own without any hypnotism, just by doing deep breathing, similar to the way that Esther does with Abraham.
Exactly the same way. I started by breathing, by setting my intention, by focusing on the energy, and then pretty soon they just bust forth. Yeah, so it doesn't take too much effort.
In a truly delightful way.
Yeah. We are thrilled to energy. Be here.
With a totally different personality than you have in the physical reality.
Yeah, I think that it's a combination of our personalities, but certainly they care a lot less about how they're perceived than I do. They're very funny.
Yeah, they have a good sense of humor.
Yeah. So that's where we are now. Then along the way,
Gary, what do you think about that? What do you think about being able to be the channel for Joshua?
Well, you know, I'm a super normal guy.
I know you are.
I have friends who have no idea. My brother and sister-in-law didn't know until a couple months ago when I went up there and came out to them. I came out to my dad. He was cool about it. He listens to the podcast and is interested in it all. And even my mother, who's in South Africa, and she's like totally into it. No questions at all. It's like, you know, it's sort of weird. And then my brother, who's religious, who's Christian, and you know, they're like pray at meals and go to church and not as boring and Christian as they used to be, but they're still believe that. And so I go, what's cool is my brother had just bought a Miata. He lives in an Asheville area. And so we're there and we go on the road and have this great day together, just driving around in this car and go to a brewery and everything. And so I get to spend the whole day with him. And then while we're having a few beers, I tell him the whole story. And then and as we're driving, tell him the exact story I just told you, I tell to him. Except he knew the part about being born in South Africa and all that. So he doesn't really say anything. He goes, okay, all right, you know, nothing, you know. And then we're back at home, and Michaelin, his wife, is there. And so I had three books, and I go, you guys, here's a present for you. And they're like, what's this? I go, I wrote three books. And they're going, what? Well, you better sign them for me. So I signed three books. Okay, so I haven't heard if they've read them or anything since then, but, you know, we talk all the time, and Wayne's coming down for Thanksgiving and stuff. So it's I had to come out with this thing, but still there's a lot of people who don't know to this day. So it is a very fun thing. It's my passion. Feel this feeling of bliss. I know what this is all about. My whole perception of reality is completely changed. I'm only doing what I want to do. So I don't have a job. I don't work. Money just flows to me pretty easily, it seems. Only doing what I want to do. So I'll get up in the morning. I'll do my Joshua answers. I might work on the book or the website or whatever is fun. And then I'll go play poker. And there might be a real estate deal. There might be a restaurant that I open. There might be stuff going on like that. So every day is just like you don't know if it's Monday or Sunday.
Yeah.
Everything's just flowing. Yep.
Well, I'm super proud of you, and I'm so appreciative to you for sharing the information and allowing Joshua to work through you. It's yeah. just an amazing journey, and I really appreciate you for it.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm. Transformed my life.
Absolutely.
Borderline saved mine.
Wow, that's a good statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's very rewarding, isn't it? You know, the cool thing is that we get to be who we really are in this community of people because there is no judgment. You know, you can.
Yeah, we don't have to come out here.
Yeah. Yeah, but you could actually tell me anything, and I wouldn't be shocked. I keep thinking now that I don't think I can be embarrassed anymore, because that is like holding on to this false persona of this old me. I am who I am, and whatever happens, happens, and I just don't have to protect this illusion of who I used to be.
It's very freeing.
Yeah, I was going to say that same thing.
Freeing. So then we've done a few more one-on-ones. We have Kate in Paris. We have Wendy. We have Kyla. We have Astrid. It's like just this cool group of people. And then we're doing our own little Joshua Cruise in the end of March, March 26th, on the Allure of the Seas.
March 26th to April 2nd.
Yep, that's the date now. We picked it out.
Allure of the Seas.
2017.
It's whoever wants to come can come. Nothing, we're not charging anything for us. It's going to be a free-flowing thing. We're just going to do what we want to do. And we'll have a little room. We'll get together. We'll do some live Joshua. We'll do some meditations. We'll do some outings as a group.
We're planning ground tours in each of the ports that are going to be metaphysically fabulous.
Ooh. Yep.
So that's fun. So anyway, Steve, why don't you start off and tell us what you think?
No pressure.
Big question.
It would be. Fundamentally, what's interesting is I was at a seminar this weekend, and I did see people asking questions of the presenter who was channeling. But it was what I like about Joshua is the focus on manifestation events and false beliefs. Because, you know, I was into this stuff for so long. I've been listening to Abraham for, I would say, 20 years. And, you know, really loved the teachings and was, you know, absorbing it. But I don't feel like I started making really supersonic progress until I, you know, met Joshua and you, because every manifestation event you hit is an opportunity to grow. And okay, what's the false belief? Identify the false belief. Reduce its intensity, you know, and then you shift to another reality. And then it's just like a ladder, and you just keep going. And the message is just repeated over and over and over again. And,
right. So let's explain that in the beginning. So what Joshua is really saying is that we are in physical reality with this illusion that we have to fight for survival, that there's fear of things happening, right? And so we've developed in a way where we are resistant to everything. We are hoarders. We are trying to make money. We're trying to protect ourselves. We're constantly in this survival mode. But now in 2016, we're not worried about wild animals or tribes, other tribes or things like that. We are pretty safe, right? So but we're still operating as if we are super insecure. And by using judgment, we say this is bad and this is good. And therefore, we try to control our conditions. ultimately, and I think that Abraham says this, is that we create our reality based on our vibration. And our vibration is this mix of thoughts, beliefs, attitudes, approach to life, fears, things like that, right? And then what is reflected back to us in our reality is simply a representation of what we're feeling on the inside. But we can change that by altering our beliefs. If we alter our beliefs and we move from fear to love, there's only two emotions, fear or love. So any negative emotion is based in fear. Any positive emotion is based in love, right? So we move from this fear to this love, then we change our vibration, and then our reality changes. So it changes from the inside out. You don't go and try and change the conditions in the moment. You change yourself. So everything is about changing self so that you can get what you really want. The famous Abraham book is Ask and It's Given. What that means is the moment you ask for something, the universe is bringing it to you. The universe starts immediately. But you have a vibration. Everything that exists in your life right now is a match to that vibration. And if something doesn't exist, it's because you're not a match to it. So in order to have that come in your life, whether that is, you know, your a mate, a job, a new car, money, a house, whatever it is, you have to become a vibrational match to that. In doing so, you have to change. And what you're really having to change is your beliefs. So you don't have to consciously do anything other than allow what's going to happen. Now, if you have a certain limiting belief, you're going to be put into a situation called a manifestation event. Whenever you feel negative emotion, you are in a manifestation event. The problem is that because you feel negative emotion, you're going to think that the event itself is wrong, or the person, people involved in the event are wrong. You're going to have this belief that's challenged by this event that's happening to you. And so you're going to feel fear, you're going to feel negative emotion, and you're going to say that the event is wrong. But if you can understand the event is for you and everything is happening for you, nothing ever happens to you, then you can sit back and say, well, what is the information that's trying to be conveyed in this manifestation event that doesn't feel good? What is this belief I have that this is wrong? Why am I seeing it this is wrong? What is a perception or a perspective that I'm taking that makes it look like this is wrong? I know that it's right. I know that it's for me. I know that it's trying to tell me something. What is it trying to tell me? What do I fear? And then you analyze the fear, and there are two types of fear. There's rational fear, fear of being eaten by a lion or falling off a cliff, something that can do you bodily harm. That's a rational fear. All other fears are irrational. The fear of asking for a raise, asking someone else on a date, public speaking, any of that stuff, that's irrational fear. You cannot get killed by it, right? So all irrational fears are false, and you can prove them false. When you are able to prove that a rational fear is false by finding evidence that it's false, you diminish the strength of that fear. And when you change the strength of a fear, when you reduce its intensity, then your overall set of beliefs change, and you move one step closer to becoming a vibrational match to what you want. When you reduce the intensity of an irrational fear, you raise your vibration. The limiting fear limits your vibration or restricts it. When you reduce the intensity of that fear, now you have less restriction and your vibration raises, and then you become closer aligned to that which you want. So a lot of what Joshua is teaching is that you need to be open when you notice negative emotion to what is happening in the moment and allow your beliefs to change so that you can move to this next level in order to get what you want. It's only to get what you want, right?
This idea of Joshua is about manifestation events and fear versus you know, irrational versus rational fear. It's one, I mean, it's really what's at the core of it for me, and it's the part that I find the easiest to talk to about other people and just break it down in that way. You know, anytime you feel negative emotion, that's a manifestation of it. That's meant to show you a belief. It's either, you know, rational fear or irrational fear. That's different for me. I mean, I haven't been on my spiritual journey, I guess, for as long as a lot of people. But I was looking into other things because I wanted to feel better. And the modality that I was sort of following right before Joshua was this process where you go looking for your limiting beliefs. You know, like you're trying to dig them up and fix them. Whereas, and I was just really resistant to it. You know, I was trying to do it because I wanted to feel better. But I was just resistant to the whole process. And then I think that's part of what opened me up to Joshua. As soon as I got that concept of manifestation events and realized that I didn't have to go looking for anything, that all I had to do was figure out what I wanted, or at least the feeling of it, and then things would just be set in my path to sort of show me those beliefs, that I didn't have to go digging for them.
Yeah, and I think that that's what people have trouble with the law of attraction. You know, I thought the law of attraction was that you just focused on what you wanted and then it would come to you. Mm-hmm. But what you really have to do is it's fine to focus on what you want, and that's great. And then, you know, let alone all the stuff that you don't want and mm-hmm. stop complaining and all this stuff. But really what's going to happen is that, you know, as Abraham says, your emotions are your guidance system, and all negative emotion is telling you is that you're looking at the subject from a limited perspective, mm-hmm. and that's because you have some limiting belief. And if you can identify that limiting belief and then change your perspective, well, you've done the work, right? Where you can change your perspective from this is wrong to this is right. That's all the work that you need to do. And that's an experiential process. If you were to sit alone and meditate and try and figure out what your limiting beliefs are, mm-hmm. well, there's no experience in that. And I think that this physical reality is about the experience. And I think the experience of something is what grounds you, you know, and really grounds a belief.
Mm. Well, you know? I just like to clarify that we're calling it a belief, but for me, it wasn't a belief in my mind. It was just the way it was.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. fact.
It was fat. Yeah, this is the way it
fact,
is.
Yes.
And you don't even question it. You're swimming in it. You don't even know it's a belief, right?
Yeah.
Right. And that's the value of the manifestation event, is you get to look at it from a new lens for the first time and go, oh, that's just, where did I come up with that, you know?
Yeah.
And you question it, and then that's where the shift happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also changes your whole relationship to a negative emotion.
Yeah.
So now no longer do we try and avoid negative emotions. We are realizing that it's just a message. That's all it is. And it's just meant to get your attention. And you're supposed to feel the negative emotion, then realize you're off track. You're not going towards your desire. You sort of, you know, not, your focus isn't on the desire. Your focus is on something else. And then put you back on track. So now you don't have to be afraid of negative emotion. And that is what so many people are, you know, using as this excuse not to go out and live life. They're trying to avoid negative emotion. Have you guys ever done that?
No, never. No, that's another one of my favorite parts about all of this is that, I mean, I'm with Wendy when she said this, you know, borderline saved her life. My entire life, I was in third grade and I told my mom that I was thinking about dying, you know, and so she took me to see a psychiatrist. And so I've been like, I wouldn't say chronically depressed, but I've gone through bouts of depression, and I thought that it was just part of me, just part of who I was, and now I see that it was just a matter of perspective, you know? And I don't think I can ever be in that place again just because I can't unknow what I know now, that it's just, those were just beliefs, that was just a perspective, and I was focusing on what was wrong instead of all that was right in my life, because I've never, mm-hmm. you know, I've never had
so
it that
good,
bad.
Yeah. That's so good, Kyla.
Yeah.
So that brings us to another, you know, huge part of the teachings of Joshua, is that your number one intention should be to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good, not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because you create from this basis of feeling good. And if you are constantly feeling bad, then you're not going to notice negative emotion.
And yeah. and you're just going to, like, not deal with it. You're just going to let it pile up and pile up, and then it's going to just create, you know, it's going to create this little monster that manifests into something stronger to get your attention. If you feel good, I think that Steve and I are really on this right now, where we're feeling good so much of the time that if we feel negative emotion, it feels really, really bad. It feels so much worse than you think.
Yeah.
Boring.
And that's because... We're so used to feeling good, and then that contrast between feeling good for so long and then this little negative emotion comes by. So we deal with it in the moment now. We'll punch a wall and we'll get right back into it.
We'll throw a tantrum.
Yeah, we'll throw a hissy fit. And I keep thinking of babies. Babies come into the world, and they come in feeling good, feeling great. And then when some little thing happens, like they get hungry, that doesn't feel good, and they're going to let you know about it, you know. And as soon as they feel good again, they'll be, you know, nice and...
Yeah, those babies never hold a grudge.
They never hold a grudge.
They really don't.
Yep. So... Feeling good. Now, another important part of feeling good is, and here's the bigger picture of this. Every thought and idea exists now. And it's when you come into vibrational alignment with it, all of you who are listening to this, you come into vibrational alignment with a very high thought of Joshua and that there is another way to live life. This isn't for everyone, and most people will never reach this vibration. So those of you who have, it's quite amazing that you've gotten up here. But it's not just this, it's any idea. So you don't create thoughts in your head, you attract them. Thoughts are non-physical and they exist, and you are a receiver and a transmitter of thought. And so when you get in your vibration high enough, and if you're in a positive emotional state of being, you can be receptive to ideas that will lead you along the path towards you want to go, towards your desire. If you are in a negative state of emotion, you pretty much cut yourself off or restrict the flow of high vibrational ideas because you're in a low vibrational state of being. So by feeling good, you have access to inspiration. And inspiration will lead you step by step along the path to change so that you will become a vibrational match to anything you want. And this is why Joshua and Abraham both say you can literally have, be, and do anything you want in this reality. It is all possible. You have limitless potential. And by following the process of feeling good and receiving inspiration and then acting on that inspiration, you will always also receive a little fear before doing any action. If you can push through that fear, you'll be led step by step by step through manifestation event to manifestation event to change your beliefs to get you where you want to go. Your desire will be manifested. You will birth a new desire and you'll be on the same process, never ending eternally. And this is why we came here. This is why we're living now.
And this is a feeling universe, he stresses. Mm-hmm. They stress.
They stress it's a feeling reality that all you're doing is feeling. If you think about it, you're not doing anything else. You're just feeling. You're either feeling good or feeling bad. You're either feeling joy or feeling sorrow. You're either feeling exuberance or anger, you know, that sort of thing. So why not feel good all the time?
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now, you think you're going to go out and, like I did, make money and then feel good. Well, it doesn't work that way. You feel good, and if the money is something that's going to... you know, you need to get where you want to go, whatever, not even need, I would say, if it's part of this, you know, of making you feel good again, money will come. Or
a part of your own inspiration.
Yeah, something else will come, you know, whatever to make
you
feel
good. If
money
is the path of least resistance to get you to what you want, that's what they said to me.
Yeah, then money would come. If, you know, if it's a mate would come. If it's, you know, children, and children would come, whatever it is. But... you have to be in this place of feeling good to even receive the inspiration. So that's the first step. So how do people feel good? I know the answer. You guys know? I've been told
everything is right.
There you go. Wendy, that's pretty good. So
The only reason you feel negative emotion is because you're taking a stance that something is wrong. But everything is right. If you understand that basic principle that everything is right, then you can realize that you're just looking at the subject from a limited perspective, and it doesn't matter what it is. And so that's what we practice all the time now is you know, feeling that something is wrong and then realizing, well, how really is it right? You know, no matter what it is.
Reaching for that alignment with your higher self.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so so you have an inner self, and your inner self is with you every step of the way. It's the larger, broader part of you that remains in non-physical, that's guiding you through every step of every day, knows every thought you have, knows all about you, knows what you intended to come here to do, knows everything. And your inner self is focused on your desire and has the perspective that will lead you there. And when you feel negative emotion, if all that is the discord between how your inner self is perceiving the situation and how you're perceiving it. So your job, your inner self is never going to go on your side and perceive it the way you perceive it, because your inner self knows what you want. So your inner self is focused on your desire. Your job is try and figure out a way to perceive the situation the way your inner self sees it. And if you can do that, you will get the feeling of relief. So you practice seeing it in a different way until you feel relief. Well, maybe it's this way. Does that feel better? Yes, that feels better. That feels like relief. Okay, now maybe I can look at it that way. It may be jarring, you know, to you. Okay, so for me, here's a good example. We were doing really well financially. We had lots of real estate. We had money in the bank. Everything was going. We had everything we wanted. We were really having a good time. And then the collapse hit and we basically lost everything one by one. It was like a dominoes board. We lost this house and this house and this house and this house and this property and this property and blah, 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 until it was pretty much all gone. We saved a couple of things, but it was pretty much all gone. Had that not, and it seemed devastating, right? But you know what? Also, I was a lot less devastated than I think some people would be if they lost that money. Somehow, even going through it, I knew it wasn't the end of the world. But anyway, pretty devastating. And I used to think back, if only I had sold this property then or not bought that one, I would have all this money still. Just a couple little decisions. But had that not happened, all this Joshua would never come up. This would never have come up. I would never have found Abraham. I would never have gone to a seminar. I would never have started meditating. None of this would have happened. So if knowing what you know now, if something like that were to happen again, you could say, I'm curious, what is this going to bring? I know it's happening for me. And you could get off that negative emotion super quickly and get back into alignment with what you want.
Mm-hmm. And just that statement, this is happening for me, not to me. I say this multiple times a day when any little thing comes up, because it's happening for us, not to us.
Right. Everything's happening for you, not to you. Nothing's ever happening to you. And thanks to Kyla, we now have 4 amazing meditations that I listen to every day.
Yay, so good.
And
so,
they so end, good. They all end in, you know, everything happens for you, nothing ever happens to you.
I am confused. And
you know, Gary, that's probably one of the biggest things for me to get it over, because I was really ill, and it was, why is this happening to me? And then to look at it from a totally different perspective, that it's happening for me, it literally saved my life. I think I was going down a bad path there health-wise, and I was spending thousands of dollars on doctors and supplements, and now I do nothing. Yeah. I write questions.
Yeah. And you feel good.
And I feel good. I have signs literally all over the house, feel good, just to remind me that that's all that matters.
So if the illness was a good thing, what is the good thing that the illness brought you?
It brought me to this. It brought me to who I, and I've always, deep down inside, resonated with this. And I'm just very strong-willed, and it took me a while to wake up.
Well, you, you wanted to control the conditions around you.
That's how I always had survived since I was a little girl, was to control it and make sure that everything was in its place, literally. And to let go of that was just like, oh my gosh.
You're still working on that. And this is the radical change. It's one of to give up control and just to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Wendy, when you were sick, how long had you been sick and how long have you been doing Joshua one-on-one? I just want to get that in perspective.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm still kind of a newbie. I've been doing Joshua for about 2.5 months.
Oh, wow. I thought it was longer. Your progress is amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Willing body here. It's been interesting. I started with Abraham back in 2009. Steve is a good friend of my husband's, and we had both done Science of Mind, and I'd always thought like that. And then Steve said, in 2009, you should listen to Abraham, and he gave me a couple CDs, and I started listening to Abraham. And I always thought Abraham was wonderful, and it sounded good in theory, but exactly how was I supposed to do this? That was my mm-hmm. big thing, is the how. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, I don't know, Steve, when was it, like 2014, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not good with time.
No, me neither. Steve just stopped by on a Sunday, and I felt like crap. And he was outside visiting with my husband, and I walked out there, and he said, you should, I don't know how the conversation went, but you should listen to Joshua. And I'm like, who's Joshua? And it kind of all went from there. And I was actually, my question was actually the first question on your podcast.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
Yeah.
How about that?
And so that kind of got me going. And then I was like, you know what? I just need to jump in and do this. And I absolutely freaking love it.
Okay. Well, so the one thing about Joshua, as opposed to Abraham, and even Abraham as opposed to Seth, it gets more and more specific.
Yeah.
It goes from very general, if you ever read Seth, really general, and then Abraham's more specific than Seth, but still quite general. And now Joshua is even more specific. But there are fewer people that are willing to, go on this path with something so specific.
I made a couple notes of what Joshua was to me. Can I just read it? It's real short.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because it says something that Steve has already said, and it's what you're saying right now. For me, the Joshua teaching is magical and magnificent guides for seekers at or nearly at the vibration to allow the laws of the universe to impact their daily lives. The seekers who have attracted this information seem to be willing to stop complaining and or stop studying and actually implement the ideas for fun, for joy, for more of whatever they truly desire with supersonic results.
Yeah, so that's the essence of it right there in a nutshell perfectly. It's for those who are willing to release the previous idea they had of how the world worked and embrace or adopt a new idea that everything's coming to you. You don't have to go out and get everything. You need to figure out a way to allow it to come. And so all we do all day long is figure out how to allow things to come to us by being non-resistant.
That's something that just mm-hmm. what you're saying, what just popped in my head is a big thing in law of attraction is conscious creation. And that's been a shift for me the further I get into Joshua, that I'm not creating anything. I'm just allowing everything. I don't have to do the
right
work. The work is being done for me. I just have to get out of the way,
Your reality is created by your vibration, which you don't really have control over because you don't have control over your thoughts. And that's why meditation is so important, because it at least gives you a little handle on that.
Yeah.
As minute as that. But, you have to not go out and fill in the blanks yourself. You have to allow things to fill in at their own time. You see this in people who are very successful, is they accomplish something that they've worked hard to get to, and the minute they've accomplished it, they're, not satisfied with it because they created something from their mind rather than allowing the more grand reality to come to fruition through their vibration. So a great story was Kyla's last week when she had her perfect day. Mm-hmm. She had had this Joshua had asked her to write down her perfect day. I think that's right in the question.
Yeah.
And you wrote down this perfect day, and 3 months later, you know, you didn't go out and manifest any of the things there on purpose. You allowed them to happen, and 3 months later, you had this perfect day.
Yeah, and you and realized it.
Even better.
It.
And you realized, yeah, and I realized it in the middle of it, and it was even better than I had written about. It was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and the point is, you can't, from your, okay, so you're at this vibration where you're dreaming of this thing, but you're at this lower vibration, not the vibration you will be when you receive it. So you can't really even articulate anything that you really want. But you think you have to. That's the illusion. You think you have to figure it out ahead of time and then go and get it at whatever cost, rather than birthing a desire and then allowing yourself to fall into vibrational harmony with it.
Yeah, and being totally detached from it. I wasn't trying to create my perfect day. You know, I wasn't even thinking about what I'd written 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Until I realized it was happening.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So, anyone else? Did we cover everything? In 1 hour?
Wow. Yeah.
There
but
is.
But wait, there's more.
There is more. But this is a good place to start. Yeah. You know.
Yes, I really enjoyed hearing your stories, everybody. It's so nice to hear personal revelations that other people have made in this physical world because of Joshua. It really brings us all together and shows us that no matter how different we are, we're all the same.
I just got a 5-page letter from a lady in Cape Town today who just wanted to write and say how her whole life has completely changed over, I guess, 2 years. You know?
And Deborah Jo, that's a good point, too. There's so much. I get so much out of reading other people's questions.
Oh, my gosh.
I've read through Steve's. I've read through Kyla's. I'm reading through Kate's. I read the ones that are, you know, just posted under the different headlines. Yeah. And it helps so much because out of every question, I get a little tidbit.
Yeah.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. I would say, what would you say if you were someone new going to start with all this stuff? Where would you start?
Ask a question.
Yeah, that's a good place. Or I started, the first thing I did when I got on the website was go and look at the answers that have the categories. So I don't remember which category I picked first, but that way, you know, if you're interested, if what you think you want is more financial abundance, you can go and see how Joshua talks about that kind of stuff. If what you're looking for is more spiritual advancement, you can go and see how Joshua talks about that stuff. So I think that's a good way to, like, for somebody who's just new and is curious to find something that interests them.
You know? Yeah.
And if you're an artistic kind of person, you can check out the photos on the quotes because that's a real short tidbit that I noticed that a lot of people have enjoyed just getting dipped in and dipped out.
Especially thanks for that, Deborah Jo.
Thank you, Deborah Jo. They're amazing.
Yeah. Thank you to all the photographers and artists who have submitted things because they love Joshua.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool. Yeah. I love the quotes. I think the quotes are the easiest way to get the essence of what Joshua is. And there's over 100 of them now. They're all fun.
And even go back and listen to the old podcast, the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
That was always so helpful for me to hear your guys' take on the question along with Joshua's answer. It kind of just put it all in a little package for me.
Yep.
Right.
And if you're a reader, I think that probably – I'm looking at the table of contents. It's probably a good place to start with a perception of reality.
Yeah.
And that will give you a good background into how all this works. And from that, then it might be easier because you learn what a manifestation event is and how your emotions and feelings and thoughts create your vibration, how the universe works, how, you know, Joshua talks a lot about the mechanism of physical reality, why this world was designed this way and how everything works in the world and how your perception is unique to you, how everyone is equally worthy, how everyone bought their ticket and they get to enjoy the rides just as much as anyone else. There's no one more or less worthy than you.
We are all in first class.
Everyone's unique.
And the other day he said, maybe it was to, one of the ones I was reading, but he was saying you're standing in line to ride this ride, and the people in front of you are no more worthy than the people behind you. You're all in the line. You're all going to ride.
Right.
And I just, that, I don't know, that just really resonated.
Yeah.
With me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how intention is important. We always set intentions prior to doing this podcast or anything we do together. Kyla got a note from Joshua when something screwed up that she didn't pre-pave the way by setting intentions first.
And you got scolded by Joshua?
Yeah, totally.
No way.
They told me I was wrong.
No, they didn't.
I thought it was funny. They said the other day in a question where I was writing, maybe it was about that perfect day, but where I was like, I feel like I can have, be, or do anything I want. And they told me I made a mistake because I said or instead of and. I
just, right.
They told me I made a mistake.
You can have be or no, you can have be and do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you all for being here. It's been a wonderful and I think very cool talk about how all this started, and I'm looking forward to where this is going. We have right now 6 million people listening to the podcast. Who laughed at that? But we don't know if they're all people. They could be non-physical.
They could be non-physical.
Yeah. They're tough to count.
Yeah, tough to count. But if you want to ask Josh a question, go to the website and ask your question. I get to about 3 or 4 of them a week now out of, you know, several dozen that come in.
And what's the website?
Theteachingsofjoshua.com.
Oh, good.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
And what about Podbean?
Podbean. On Podbean, we are the teachings of joshua.podbean.com and joshualive.podbean.com.
I am really enjoying those Podbeans. That's so nice to hear the conversations.
Well, they're also on iTunes.
Oh, right.
Are they on Stitcher?
They should be.
Oh, good. Excellent. All right.
There's links right from the website, right, to these podcasts.
I don't know.
And I don't think we have any reviews. If anybody wants to review us, just let other people know what you think, what you get out of it, what you like about it or don't like.
Oh, okay.
What you think is wrong.
This is a perfect community.
Everything is right.
No one can really give negative feedback, so. We have this impression that everything's great.
Yeah. And it is.
It is, right?
All right. So, everyone have a wonderful weekend. We are going to continue this conversation next week. Be sure to catch the latest version of Joshua Live. I can't really remember what they were about because I was busy doing my thing, but I love listening to them.
And they're really good.
Yep. And everyone have a great week. I'm going to win some more money in poker. I'm number 2 on the list.
Nice.
Tim is number 1.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to catch them. And have a great weekend.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.